the traditional gender role and the females are bonobos, or the bonobos aren't at all, I feel like we should have to take them both into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was that point on that. But I'm not sure, because they don't have engineers, or they don't have particularly job roles in the chimpanzee world or the bonobo roles. Like, we don't know if a bonobo wants to become a nurse or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to study that. But
it is very hard, like, when talking about biological gender, like, differentiating it from what's socialized. And mm-hmm. I do tend to, like, I'm not a fan of biological determinism, just because it is, like, a slippery slope. But mm-hmm. I do understand that there is probably some validity to it. It's just hard to, like, declare when we don't know. Like, if we're basing it off of what babies look at after they're born, for one of the examples, it's just not enough for me.
But then what is enough with the other points then? What would you say by, because I feel like studying behavior is a good scientific method of finding reasons, but not saying that this is the entire reason. Like, this is a small, like, if we're talking about a pie, this is like 10% of the pie.
Here's the thing. This kind of goes a bit into philosophy of science. But there is this thing called underdetermination, and it's this idea where an infinite amount of theories are compatible with a given set of data. So when we look at, like, exactly like the data you were talking about with right after birth, babies looking at either a car or like an object or whatever, a face, like, that can be interpreted in so many different ways, even though we have the data. Mm. Like, the interpretation can be influenced by background assumptions that we have,
right,
that act as constraints, because the data alone can't show what theory we can accept.
Because we can interpret it many ways. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to recheck on that. I feel like I didn't go into thorough depth into it, but yeah, that does make a lot of sense with a lot of things. So yeah, definitely taking everything with a grain of salt right now. I don't believe
it's
that
just a conversation.
Yeah, it's just, like, a conversation.
Both just sides.
Friendly conversation. But I do believe, yeah, that is just something that I just feel like maybe there is some factor of natural preferences, but I think there is a much bigger contributor of things such as being told of the role, or being seeing the gender differences as in the gender roles of being, for example, girls being told that they're worse at math, for example, or inequities in the workplace and not seeing enough female role models. I believe those have much bigger impacts.
Yeah, and even just trying to break into a male-dominated field where women have been discredited for so long and also mm-hmm. exploited, and just so many terrible things have happened for the sake of science or medicine for women. And we can get into that another time, but yeah. I just know, like, a lot of testing done on women, especially women in mental hospitals, has been just really horrific.
Testing on them?
Yeah.
Oh. Could you elaborate more? I'm curious.
Well, a lot of times, like, mental hospital patients should not even be able to really consent to things. Like, I know with the birth control pill, that was tested on female psychiatry patients. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even the birth control pill today has severe, severe effects. And the man who was running the experiment was basically just like, oh, I want just more, like, just, he kind of would talk about that, like, women as if they were animals to just be testing on. And
oh.
Just things like that, where it's a dehumanization.
Like, we're a subspecies of the
male.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's another thing in science for a while. It was like, you know, and it's not super long ago that that was happening. So to right. expect women to be, you know, fully back and at it in, or like, not even back, but fully in the STEM fields is, I think it might be too soon based on our history, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds kind of outrageous now of being or feeling like a subspecies now. It just sounds like something that most of us would never do. But back then, in the 19th or the 20th century, yeah, they were definitely not giving women the spotlight and, needed.
Yeah, even just lobotomies too. I like.
Oh,
but anyways, I want to get back. unless DJ Coco has anything more to say about this.
I will just bounce off.
Okay.
Whatever you have to say.
Okay, okay. So this whole idea with philosophy of science and feminist perspectives on philosophy of science is that there should be like a more feminist perspective put into the world of science. But for example, the origins of a theory should be irrelevant in theory evaluation is a counter argument to that. Like, it doesn't matter where the theory comes from, if it comes from a man, woman, non-binary person, like, it really doesn't matter. The valuation and justification is what matters. But then a counter argument to that is that we can only compare and validate hypotheses against hypotheses that already exist. So it's like there is this echo chamber that could allow for a larger undercutting bias. But then there's a lot of kind of circular arguments with that. I wanted to really talk about... Oh, I want to say one more thing before. Sorry, there's just so much information about this topic. I get a little lost. But there is another... It says it's a feminist argument, but it's basically the idea that the objectivity of science comes from a discussion that includes many different viewpoints, including feminist viewpoints and even andocentric viewpoints. Like, for example, with peer reviews, like, you need different people's different biases to evaluate what the person is saying. So it's not necessarily feminist. It's more just like, okay, guys, like, we need to include more viewpoints. Otherwise, it is going to become this echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this specific branch of feminist philosophy of science that's called feminist standpoint epistemology. And it's actually pretty interesting. It's this idea that marginalized groups who fight against their oppressors and are aware of why they're being oppressed are epistemically privileged. And just epistemology is a study of knowledge. So they just have more knowledge on this subject. And it makes sense. Like, the dominant group largely does not fully understand the experiences of the marginalized group, or even maybe even understand the marginalized group at all, because they have this luxury of ignoring these lives and experiences because they're the dominant group and they have their dominance pushed out everywhere. And as well, the marginalized don't have as many opportunities for their voices to be heard, so there's less opportunity to be understood. And if the marginalized group wants to change their conditions, they must understand the dominant group and how they maintain power in order to undermine them, which makes sense. And it's also quite easy because the dominant group controls the mainstream narrative. And what feminist standpoint epistemology argues is that women, and not just women, but women who are feminists, have this epistemic privilege, and it needs to be highlighted more in science. And it's not for everything, but it is for things like gender relations or kind of these like theories that might perpetuate gender stereotypes. And there is not, like DJ Coco was saying, there's still not a lot of women in STEM or women who are out there countering these dominant viewpoints. Because, you know, they're the ones who notice this male bias most of the time, subjected to criticism, and then create programs that are designed to correct it. So, yeah, I just think it's interesting that they're calling for this because marginalized groups understand and can pinpoint, like, what is more wrong about something or more ignorant about something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna, okay.
Yeah, what do you think?
Rewind for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying that there should be more women's standpoint because, or female in research.
It's specifically like feminist though. It's not just
female.
Women.
But feminist doing mm-hmm. doing research.
Yeah. Oh, and like they need
any
to
kind
be
of
given more of like a platform with peer reviewing and just being like, because there is this argument where, oh, but isn't it like feminism a bias as well? If we're talking about like, oh, well, there's this andocentric bias.
So they counter
feminism is a bias as well, but then they counter it with this.
Exactly. Yeah, because there's bias in all kinds of science, no matter what what background you come from, because everyone has their unique perspectives. But
yeah, they're yeah. Like, oh, it's not bias, it's knowledge.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. It can be up for, you know, you out there listening, your interpretation. But I see their point, and I kind of agree with it.
Yeah, that does make sense. I definitely do agree that, yeah, feminists should be more in research and just having more of a role of woman in research.
Yeah.
But I'm going to move over to the other one.
Okay.
So why do you think personally why women don't go into STEM? Let's just go over to the broad overview.
I'm curious. So it's such a complicated question because it talks about like nature versus nurture, basically. Like, do I think it's a nurture thing? And I think there is a big, like, there is something to say about how women are nurtured to be, like, nurturers, basically, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want you to go first. I need to gather
go
my
first.
Thoughts.
Yeah, I just want to say this is from stemming from, because, yes, I think we do need more women, or feminists, in research, but we have to find the underlying reason of why aren't we going into STEM, and why are women not going to STEM? And so, I also have a little inclination for biology. Still, we got a little clash on that, but I do think that although the chimpanzee research should be taken with a grain of salt, there is some points to be made there, especially with the chimpanzee doll and the toy. But my other points, which I believe are more substantial in the argument, is that for one, I know that myself included and many other girls on average have lower self-esteem. And so I think men and boys are told that they have better mathematical and spatial skills. For example, I know that there's been cases of teachers that have told girls that they're just not good at math, which is ridiculous because there have been many studies that found that girls and boys actually have the equal ability in mathematical ability. On the bell curve scale, not in just small samples. And another one is the inequities in the workplace and the overarching concept of having no role models, discrimination, girls not being able to vote, girls not being able to be in education and being a subpar human. So why should they get an education? So why should they pursue the science, or why should they pursue higher education, which is where what you need to go into research and into STEM? So those are my reasons.
Yeah.
But what do you think?
I think just hearing you say that there is no distinct mathematical difference between men and women, and I'm sure like there's not much difference in the other fields of STEM as well. That's just critical thinking skills, problem solving. Yeah, what you said, math. So then it really comes down to women making the choice whether or not to go into these fields because they are definitely equipped with the skills to do it. Which I think there are, like you said, a lot of factors that don't encourage women to go into STEM. And it has to do with self-esteem. It has to do with the larger structure of STEM and how it is very male dominated. And I'm sure there's harassment and other larger issues within that it's definitely not, like, for example, even with myself, for a brief moment in time I wanted to be a mechanic, and then I was thinking about, you know, the pros and cons of the job. And I was thinking it'd be really hard to work with all men who are in the trades.
Right.
And maybe this is just a stereotype that I have, but it's also, I've not had great experiences with men too. So it's like, you have to balance that, like, oh, is it worth it to be going to work every day and feeling this power imbalance and all these other factors that play into how capable you feel at your job, how satisfied you feel with it, things like that.
Did you feel you were capable enough to become a mechanic as well?
Yeah, it wasn't as much of a question of like, oh, could I do this? Like, I'm sure most people could do most jobs, honestly, if they really put their mind to it and have the education and, you know, have an average set of skills and motivation. But it yeah, the gender power imbalance, I think, does play a role. Even if it's not a legal power imbalance, it still is there. And yeah, your abilities are going to be constantly questioned, I think.
Right.
Even more so than a man's.
Yeah, and especially with other reasons too, I believe that child rearing, for example, also changes the perceptions for girls in sciences. Are girls going into male-dominated fields?
Yeah.
Along with, workplace discrimination and things like that. But
oftentimes, too, this might be a generalization, but I know women who want to have children, like, they might end up even subconsciously going into a field that they could opt out of once that they have children so they can take care of the children. It's not like you're necessarily shooting for a career if you're going to have children, because there are these dynamics in place of, you know, you're, as a woman, you're designated to this domestic sphere, and that's where most of your labor goes, versus, you know, allocating it to advancing your career and getting there. You know, there are different goals for men and women in life, I think, that are maybe societal, maybe biological, but yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely not black and white. That's the moral of the story, is that no answer is black and white. It's a combination of everything, I believe. Yeah, nature and nurture.
Yeah.
For sure.
But it is interesting to think in general how there are definitely these implicit biases in science that are not just sexist or anything. I mean, this is bashing science, so it gets a little, you know, iffy, but you know, you have to question science, because that's what science is all about, right? Is just questioning until you can prove your theory or get proved wrong. So it is interesting to think, like,
yeah,
like how much of science is actually accurate and how much of it is, you know, formed partially by these background assumptions that we have.
Mm-hmm. Biases that are involved. I'm still torn between the nature and nurture issue, just the terms of natural preferences of going to STEM, which is definitely more controversial.
Mm.
Because I feel like, do you think that girls biologically or innately want to help others? Or do you think that was learned?
That's hard.
Afterwards.
That's so hard, because
It's not an answerable question.
It is something
really
that is ingrained in you as a woman to be empathetic, understanding, but is it because of fulfilling this female role as being subservient to a man and being able to, you know, make everyone happy, to level out the playing field? Or is it just strictly biological? But the thing is, I genuinely think all humans are capable of empathy. Like, I'm not sure if it's necessarily I think it is a taught thing, honestly, because as children, there is a stage of childhood where you practically have no empathy. Like, you just kind of go on based on the social norms and regulations, right? Mm-hmm. So it'd be weird if it was biological. I mean, not weird. It could, like, be later in life developing biologically, but
yeah, because
makes me think that it's more nurture.
Yeah, because for empathy, I know that men are not, they just, men and women express empathy in different ways. It's not that one has more or less, but it's just the ways that they express it. But for other things, like for a woman to be naturally more nurturing. Because if we're talking about the entire evolution of Homo sapiens and all of our primates, isn't natural by natural selection, isn't it more biologically advantageous there we go, for women to be more nurturing, to have fair, better offspring, thus for natural selection to pick them, and thus those are the ones that spread on their genes and continue the race? Because do you think that might also have a play in our natural preferences of going to more nurturing?
But I also wonder, this is kind of gets into a bigger subject. I'm just thinking of it right now. Like, I wonder how much of our like primal biology is still ingrained, and like to what effect it actually does have. Because right now we don't really have any need for, like, if we're talking about the nuclear family, like men and women are like equally supposed to take care of their children. Mm-hmm. And there is definitely a big imbalance between that, but I'm just wondering like how much of an effect it actually does still have on us.
Yeah, that's the thing with things like social sciences and topics like this, is that there can never be a tangible result in the air. That like, it's just all up in the air. But I do, but there is definitely a correlation for me personally, mm-hmm. of natural inclinations. Like sharing 96% of DNA with a chimpanzee, I think is pretty, can have some signs. We definitely have some similarities in behavior, especially, but that 4%.
Sorry for interrupting you, but I'm like, if women are supposed to be more nurturing, what is the main thing for men?
The men, it's for chimpanzee, they're supposed to be, it's the, like, I don't want to say toxic masculinity traits, but those kind of masculine traits that are predicted with I don't know what I'm trying to say here, but I believe that boys, going back to before, it's that things like being independent, dominance. There's other, not dominance, I can't remember the other masculine traits off the top of my head, the very stereotypical ones, but things like that. And I don't believe that it is fully like that. I do believe that it is apparent that boys have more masculine traits on average, but doesn't mean that boys are only masculine and girls are only feminine. Like, and these are just social terms that we put on just normal traits.
Yeah. So. I do have something to say. It might be controversial, you guys, so sorry, but I think there might be some truth to men being like biologically like more geared to being dominant, because when we talk about the patriarchy, that's basically what the entire concept of it is.
Yeah.
And like, where did that come from? Like, it didn't just come from no socialization whatsoever. It didn't come from like poof out of nowhere. Like, there had to be some basis for it other than socialization, right?
No, that's what I'm trying to say is like there are stereotypes, but they come from something. They
but
have
not
to
all
there.
Cultures were like that too, so that's where it's confusing. Like, why did one culture develop in a certain way with gender differences,
right?
Like, is it just have to do with your environment, or is it certain that, like, events happen that I don't know.
What do you mean by other cultures, as in they have different structures? Or
like, I know, like, just a small example, like, in some indigenous cultures, when the group was making a decision, both men and women would have to be heard, and, like, they'd come together and decide together, because the opinions of men and women were equally respected. And it's, like, that was very much not present in a lot of early patriarchal societies where women were silenced and, like, not to be seen or heard.
I don't want to bring it back to the apes, but I'm going to have to bring it back to the apes. I don't believe that it was fully, like, we are fully a matriarchy, we are fully a patriarchy, but there can be some evolutionary basis on men wanting to be more dominant and having that for survival. But there's the things like, maybe the bonobos, which are also our equally close relative, is that they are female dominated, and that they had more of a say in decisions.
I guess it's also like, we can't necessarily generalize that all men are dominating.
No.
It could just be the men who had that predisposition to be dominating that started this patriarchal culture, because, you know, versus the others that don't have that inclination to be dominating, like, who's going to win? You know, like, who's going to dominate? It's the people who are more likely to. So
I think it's just cooperation. We just need to all cooperate together. Because, women, men and women, I believe, are not similar at all, is my take, is that we aren't very similar.
I disagree.
No,
I
we say
like
we are.
There's way more similarities between genders than there are, like...
Differences?
Different. Like, I think there's a lot of differences within the gender, but also a lot of differences between, but I don't know if we can overall say one thing or another.
Yeah, it's hard to... There's no answer to this. I do believe there are differences that we can... That we can match... with each other. They aren't crazy different.
Yeah.
We all have empathy. Men have empathy. Mm-hmm. Women have empathy. And many other traits in that. But just maybe if we're also bringing statistics into this. The bell curve on average that we are different. But there's still like the other end of the bell curve. Like there are women who are feminine. Women who are masculine. Things like that.
It is potential for biology. But for me, how I see it at a certain point, like we don't need... these biological ties anymore. Like, we're in a society where a lot of things don't really align with how we would like to live biologically or anything like that. Very modern, maybe too modern, you could argue. I think it's too modern, but like, we're at this point where, in my opinion, there's like, for a woman to be still fitting into these gender roles, like, and for men too, I think we should, like, we can move past that point. Like, I don't see the individual need for it anymore, as opposed to just upholding the structure that we have in place.
So you think that we should uphold, not uphold the structure, but it is going to be difficult to uproot.
It's going to be difficult to uproot.
I don't think we will uproot the structure. That is my take. I feel like not ever. I feel like there will always be some sort of dominating factor for men, even though I don't want it at all. That's just my personal take, considering I don't I'm bringing a lot of animals.
I have a little
this.
Hope though. I personally have some hope,
because a lot of animals, the majority of animals, are all male dominated. For most of them, there there are very little examples of actually female dominated animal species. And I keep bringing evolution into this, but it is evolution, I feel like, with natural selection. Like,
but I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
No, go ahead.
But I'm saying that we're at this point where women are gaining more understanding of how we're being oppressed and exploited. And, you know, like, animals aren't really thinking like that, thinking critically or
like
anything.
That.
So at this point for humans, like, women can understand the systemic structure and how it disadvantages us.
Do you think that this has ties with the declining birth rate as well? This is a stretch.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I think that with more equality, with more less of a patriarchy, we would have. This is maybe one of the contributing factors to the declining birth rate, because we are becoming more aware of the consequences. I don't know what word I'm trying to say here, but
like other options, honestly.
Yeah, and so the declining birth rate, the population as a whole, we have a declining population. I don't think we're not going to be able to sustain our population at this rate right now.
That's a good thing, though.
Is it a good thing? I don't think it's a good thing.
Well, we're destroying the earth as it is. We need a little less.
But the thing is that if we have... Okay, this is not even the same topic
anymore.
Guys,
we have a minute and a half left right now.
Yeah, we've been going off.
What were you going to say, though?
With the... Okay, this is not even on the topic anymore. But with the birth rate, or with the declining population rate, I believe that we need... If we have too many old people in the population, not enough working people, there's not going to be any workers to sustain the population and to actually have productivity for making the furniture, farming the fields and things like that. And I've heard that there are assumptions, or there will be problems if we keep declining at this rate for any population.
Well, maybe the government can just introduce some more social programs to help elderly people and divert some of their resources to more social programs. I don't know.
I'm not going to put my grandma to the fields. But it is plausible. Okay, we have no time left. So
thank you guys so much for listening.
Thank you for all of that. That was a little longer than I'd normally think we'd have a show for. for that long, but
that's okay.
We're just gonna go to the outro now. But yeah, thank you so much for being here. Sorry, it's a bit rushed.
Yeah,
but.
Thank you guys. We appreciate you listening to us talk, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. See you guys next week, Tuesdays at 6 p.m.